Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
Unveiling the abundant life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And our main verse is John chapter 10, verse 10. It's a very popular verse. Sometimes we use it wrongly. Hallelujah. But I want to capitalize on the good thing about this verse. Let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Father, we are grateful this morning that we are gathered here to hear from you. Heavenly Father, our hearts are open, our minds are alert to receive that which you have prepared for us in this day. Holy Spirit, you are the downloader. Download heavenly materiality in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's quickly go to John chapter 10, verse 10. That's our main verse. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, verse 10. Can we read it from the Amplified Bible? I'll read to you from the Living Bible. I like the Living Bible because it is living. Hallelujah. So John chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible reads, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So John chapter 10, verse 10 talks about the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've titled my message Unveiling. To unveil means you lay bare something which was already there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God wants to reveal to you what maybe you didn't know about the abundant life. The reason Jesus came is that we might have abundant life. So we're going to look at this abundant life. What is it about? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to answer certain fundamental questions like, is abundant life only available when we get to heaven? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is available now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Abundance means many things. Salvation, we need to understand salvation as a full package.
Amen.
It's fully loaded. It has everything. Hallelujah. That's what we are going to learn over the next couple of weeks. We need to pray for wisdom and revelation so that we understand. I like, thank you. I see people are taking notes. I want to encourage people to take notes, please. Hallelujah. Next week, I will try to, we'll do a row. Roko, who see who is not taking notes, I'll provide the note. I'll provide the booklet and a pen for not taking. Hallelujah. So we need to pray for wisdom and revelation. These are spiritual things. We need to be able to spiritually grasp them. Hallelujah. Because you see, we struggle because we are living in a world which tries to pull us down, to pull us to the level of the ordinary person, of the ordinary human being. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But this morning I want to tell you, you are not ordinary.
Amen.
You are God's purchased possession.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody paid a price for you.
Amen.
It happened. It's not history. It's not just history. It's real. Hallelujah. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. There's an interesting prayer. I like praying that prayer so much. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17 to 20. That verse will help us get to know how abundant life can be unpacked. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Paul says, I always pray that God, if you can put King James Version for this one, I pray that God I like the way it's explained here. That the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
We need to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, to have insight into realities. But also this can come to us through revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the knowledge of him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. So he says, you have eyes of understanding. You have eyes of understanding. Apart from these physical eyes, you have eyes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As I see you, I see four eyes on you, not two. So those eyes of understanding might be enlightened. Even if you have eyes, if there is no light, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've heard this. A blind man doesn't mean he doesn't see, but he sees blindness. He sees darkness. Hallelujah. He sees darkness. So when Jesus healed them, he brought light into their eyes. So your eyes of understanding might be enlightened, that you may know. Now here he talks about, we are dwelling on three things. Number one, he says, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Number one. Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. So there, the key word that you take is inheritance. Number one, calling. There's an issue about calling. You must have hope in your calling. God has called you. So number two is inheritance. His inheritance. It means God's inheritance in you. Hallelujah. We normally know inheritance, it's like a son getting what his father had. Now, in this case, it's the father having an inheritance in us, the saints. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the final one is in verse 19. The third one is, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Hallelujah. So the third one is about power. Amen. We must pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that we may know what is the hope. We must have hope in our calling. Hallelujah. Then what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? Hey, there are so many words there. glory, inheritance. But take inheritance. God has an inheritance in you. So you must know that inheritance has riches. So you should have that revelation of the glory of his inheritance in you. Then finally, the power. God has invested power in you. If you go to verse 20, it says, the power was given to us, verse 20, which he worketh in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on his right hand in heavenly places. So when Jesus resurrected, there was a power transfer. There was a shift of power. The power came to us, believers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why Christianity, the basis of Christianity is the resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the resurrection is very important. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are going to look at these three things. What is the hope of the calling? When we are looking at the, we are going to approach it from, by looking at God's gift to us. There are so many, but we will dwell on three gifts, which I've called them cardinal gifts. The word cardinal means very important. I consider them to be very important gifts that each believer must know and understand them. So there are three cardinal gifts. The first one is eternal life. We must know, understand what is eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. The second one is righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. I will say this. It has helped me. We are more sin conscious than we are more righteousness conscious. God's design is that we be more righteous. Righteousness, we must develop righteousness consciousness. We must be conscious of our righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah. But religion has taught us. Religion has murdered us to be more sin conscious. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your righteousness is not yours. It's a gift. That's why I'm approaching it as a gift. A gift is something you don't work for. It's given for you free, but somebody paid for it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the principle of a gift is, if it's given to you, your responsibility is to make use of it. And don't use it wrongly.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Suppose you give somebody a gift, you give them a blanket. Then you go to their home, you find they've made it a mat. It's on the floor, you are... You will not talk, but you will realize, oh, it's a waste. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, righteousness is a gift. When God sees you, righteousness means right standing with God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Perfect standing with God because of Christ.
Amen.
So if God designed that you are righteous before him, why are you condemning yourself? That's why I'm saying, we should be more righteousness conscious than sin conscious. Yes, sin is there. Temptations are there. But our consciousness, hallelujah, should be towards righteousness. So I've talked about the eternal life is the first gift that we're going to discuss. At least two sessions will help us understand. Then we'll discuss the gift of righteousness. Then the third gift is a person, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, these are gifts. They are given. But for them to work, you need to receive them. So we'll be learning how to receive these gifts and make use of the gifts. Some time back, I was teaching a lesson on three kinds of knowledge. I learned that lesson, that there are three kinds of knowledge. The first one is just awareness. I'll give you an example. I don't know now, but we used to receive maybe parcels through the post office. So when your parcel, somebody sends you a parcel, maybe from outside the country, the first thing is you get a notification from the post office. Awareness, then you are aware. There is something for me, right? The next thing, you go to the post office and declare, I'm the one. It's mine. Then you go with your ID.
Yes.
Then they give you the gift. Then you open the box. Then you realize, oh, it's a video camera. That's another level of knowledge. Eh? Now you know exactly what's inside. Now the final kind of knowledge is called experiential knowledge. Experimenting with it. What you do. Do you know how to use the camera? This is where now you take the camera and put it in water. Wrong. Hallelujah. So we need to know these three kinds of knowledge. We might be aware Jesus died for us. It doesn't end there. You need to encounter him. Know him personally. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then live the life that he brought for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's why I said, tell your neighbor, he's the reason Jesus came. So we will try to, hallelujah. God will reveal to us how we're going to live this abundant life. Hallelujah. Let me explain a little bit about the verse that we are looking at, John 10. What prompted Jesus to say those words? The story starts somewhere in chapter 9. You remember in John chapter 9, there's an issue of the man who was born blind. Now, the disciples saw him and they were asking Jesus, who sinned? Do you see the sin consciousness here? Eh? Mm-hmm. They see somebody sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It happens even today. I remember when I was jobless for close to 5 years. My family members started now asking, don't you have issues with some people? Hallelujah. You know, it reaches a point where you start thinking, maybe what they're saying is right. Hallelujah. But you must listen to your conscience. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, to your conscience. Because it spoke to me, said, there's nothing. Hallelujah. So back to the story of the blind man who was, the man who was born blind. Remember, Jesus said, it's not about sin. This man was born blind so that the glory of God might manifest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you might be going through certain things where God's purpose, because you are his possession.
Yes.
You are his inheritance. It says the glory of his riches in his inheritance. So God wants to show himself strong through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The other things are just distractions. They want to put you off the mark. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, remember Jesus healed this man. When he went to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they couldn't believe that. They were saying, now Jesus is the one who has sinned. So you see, this is a society which is their mentality. They're just thinking about sin. They're focusing on sin. The Savior has come. The Savior is doing miracles. They call the Savior a sinner. Hallelujah. So we have to watch out in where we stay in our society. Hallelujah. Because God has chosen us out. We must stand out of the crowd. God calls us the light of the world. So if you know that you know that you know that what you believe in is true, then stand out. Don't condescend to the norms of the society. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Jesus, when he said thieves, he was referring to the Pharisees. Because they were denying people what they deserve. So Jesus, the context of this, I'm not saying it's wrong to call the devil a thief, no. But I'm just giving you a context. Hallelujah. Because behind these Pharisees who were distorting the things of God is the devil again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the context of the matter is that he was referring to the religious leaders of that time. I'm saying the religious leaders of that time. Scribes, Pharisees. Today we also have some leaders in the church who are deceiving people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So those are what Jesus called thieves. I'm sure you can agree with me. You have seen people who have been robbed of their money in church. Hallelujah. So these are the thieves that Jesus is referring to. But he says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are looking at the abundant life. Now, quick lessons from this abundant life is the abundant life cannot be lived without the good shepherd. Because he said, I'm the good shepherd. So you need the good shepherd if you are to experience the abundant life. What it means is you need to be born again to have eternal life. I always say the most popular verse in the Bible is John 3, verse 16. Hallelujah. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. I think every Christian can recite that verse. But if you look at the context, it came from Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. So it was about being born again. Jesus was having conversation with a religious leader who were religiously following God, but in the wrong way. I have defined religion as serving God according to man's thinking. Hallelujah. That's how I distinguish between religion and it's serving God, yes, but according to what man thinks. Hallelujah. And I call Christianity as the pulsating life of God lived through a man. So if you are a Christian, it's God's life in you. Hallelujah. And the three things, today is just introduction. We'll get into the details later. The three things that we will look at, the three gifts. The gift of eternal life, the gift of righteousness, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm likening them to, we are living in a ICT. That's not labor. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I liken eternal life like a software that you must have for you to live the abundant life. You must, you know, a software is very important. It enables you to do certain things that an old software cannot do. I liken the gift of righteousness as a license. When you have these softwares, you need a license to use them. If your license expires, you can't use the software. Hallelujah. Then I liken the gift of the Holy Spirit, since he's a person, living inside of you is like a chip for downloading. Hallelujah. It's a chip planted in you so that heaven has no trouble networking with you, communicating with you, communicating through you. Hallelujah. I hope it's making sense. It made sense to me. Hallelujah. About the abundant life, you either have it or you don't have it or you don't know. Hallelujah. Or maybe you don't know that you have it. So if you have it, excellent. If you don't have it, have it. If you don't know, you'll discover it. Hallelujah. So that you have it. Praise God. But for you to live this life, you need the power of God. This life cannot be lived alone. This abundant life, this eternal life cannot be lived alone. You need God to help you. If I always say, if Jesus, the Son of God, needed the Holy Spirit to function effectively in his ministry, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, if we could go there, Acts chapter 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. So if God is with you, God's plan is to anoint you. When Jesus came, in Matthew 6, I think verse 38, where the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you can see in that verse, Jesus has mentioned the two gifts that we are discussing. He didn't mention the third one. Why? Because he needed to go to the Father and ask the Father that, Daddy, can you please? Because this has helped me, right? Live on planet Earth. Father, can you please release the Holy Spirit so that it indwells each and every believer? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's mentioning the two gifts. But he had not yet made it possible for us to have them for free. At that time, he was saying, seek them. Hallelujah. You will still seek them as gifts today because you don't work for them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You get your salvation through faith. You believe. How do you receive Jesus? You declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Then he becomes your Lord. You are born again. You don't need a special ceremony. Hallelujah. You don't need a special certificate. It's in your heart. Then God starts changing you. God starts using you. Hallelujah. But you must know the software that you have received. Amen. You must know that you have a different software from the world. Your processing of issues is different from what the world does. If need be, you have the helper, who is the Holy Spirit, to help you in all things. So we are going to try to activate. Because if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. But maybe you're not using him. I always say using him, not it. Because he is a person. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a person. He also has emotions. You may disappoint him. Hallelujah. So we must learn to activate the power that is in us. When Jesus was commissioning his disciples, he told them, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Which means the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God, you can't separate them. If you need the power of God to manifest in your life, God has already sent the operator of the generator of power in you. So he's in you like the operator of the genset that is in you to produce God's power. Hallelujah. He's the one who operates God's power. Hallelujah. Each of the three, today is just introduction, yeah? Each of the three gifts is distinct, is different. Eternal life and righteousness and the Holy Spirit are different. Holy Spirit is a person. That's one distinction, is a person. Righteousness is not a person. Eternal life is not a person. I've likened the eternal life like a software. Between righteousness, I want to talk a little bit about righteousness and maybe eternal life, try to compare the two. When you get born again, when you become a child of God, you grow in that life. Hallelujah. The day you got born again, what happens is God credits your account that you are righteous. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think in Romans 4, where the Bible talks about that Abraham was, because of his faith, he was credited with righteousness. Ro- Romans 5 verse 17. Let me explain by using that verse. Romans 5 verse 17. Says if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. The Bible does not, it says abundance of grace. And the gift of righteousness. The Bible does not talk about grace as a gift, but it talks about the gift of righteousness. We had a teaching on grace, and we said grace is in abundance. So you can receive abundance. It depends on how you receive it. So it can come in abundance. It's up to you to use a teaspoon or connect with a hose pipe to the lake full of grace. Hallelujah. But here it says the gift of righteousness. I want to say this. You don't grow in righteousness. The righteousness of somebody who was drunk yesterday and received Jesus this morning, hallelujah, is same as the one preaching to you and whosoever you think is more righteous. Righteousness is the same. It's a license. It gives you access to God's blessings. So you don't become more righteous by doing things. No. Amen. Your righteousness remains the same. But you grow in grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Then, when we talk of righteousness, Isaiah 61. Let's look at Isaiah 61, verse 3. It talks about us being trees of righteousness. I'm looking at the last part of the scripture. Okay. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is explaining kind of the salvation that we have. So it says, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So we are trees of righteousness. God has planted us on planet Earth that we may manifest his glory. God will use us to manifest his glory. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when I'm thinking about these things, I think of myself as God's gadget. Hallelujah. Yes, I think of myself as God's gadget. You know, in our houses we have gadgets or appliances. Hallelujah. Which we use. You can use an iron to straighten clothes, right? Hallelujah. But the iron needs power. You must give it power so that it does the work. God has designed us to be his gadgets on earth. He gives us the power. Hallelujah. Amen. To straighten the world. I remember I heard this one. It's a funny one. Mwambi wabine huna uva karikari. Hallelujah. Taibine yotinkapanga za football. silver strikers. Dating Kafuna will a player winner. Hallelujah. Dating a Mirana player, which are well, comes and I, Lemony Agriganit. At a chuka. Demon to win a Mugomit Matu, Yoja Manyada Nyada, and a smarty man be a mafun. The one member of the committee told him, Agri, I don't need my seat, I wouldn't. If he had a lot of food, chance you're going to eat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn on my baby and wear wine. Hallelujah. You need to be hot to iron. Amen. Amen. So we are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The Bible talks about fruits of righteousness in Philippians. The Bible also, I'm trying to differentiate the gifts, right? Yes. So there are fruits of righteousness. The Bible also talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So they are different. These are different. The Bible says in Galatians, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. But the first thing that comes is love. When the Bible talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's talking about what the Holy Spirit produces in you. So the Holy Spirit came into your life to produce fruit, to produce love, to produce joy, to produce peace. You can be at peace when the world is at war because of the Holy Spirit who is inside you. Hallelujah. Amen. All of God's gifts are good. James says, every good and perfect gift, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, who has no shadow of turning, no variableness. Why are they good? Because they are given to us generously. Generosity is involved when God gives us those gifts, and they are given out of love. Hallelujah. So we'll touch a little bit on eternal life so that we catch up with our time. I think I have explained what we're going to do. So we will start dwelling on specific gifts one by one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have eternal life. You may not know. In one of the episodes that John wrote, he was trying to, the Apostle John was trying to expound on eternal life, to explain. And he actually said, I'm writing this to you to know about this eternal life. You may have it, but you may not know. Hallelujah. So we need to know about this eternal life. What is this eternal life? Is it about living forever? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have attended funerals where the preacher would say, in his sermon, would say, Now this person has entered the eternal life. Meaning when you die, that's when you enter into eternal life. Hallelujah. It sounds good and it makes sense. It makes much human sense. But Jesus came. He's not coming again for eternal life. No. That one he already brought. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which means it's available now. Amen. It reminds me the story in Luke chapter 18 from verse 28 about the rich young ruler. Maybe let's finish with for today. Let's go there. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. We'll read from verse 18 to 28 to 30. Luke 18. Okay, let's go up. Let's go where it started. I think 28 to 30 would deny us the whole story. Luke 18. Where do we start? 24? Let's go to verse 24. No, you were in verse what? You went to verse 18? Yes, let's start from here. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This is what we are talking about. The first gift, right? So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." This guy was very good. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." 23. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." 26. And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" If they were asking this question, it means the people who were asking were rich people.
Yes.
Amen. Verse 27. But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." 28. Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." So he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God." Verse 30. "Who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." Hallelujah. What I wanted to emphasize is Eternal life begins now on earth. We don't wait to die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So eternal life begins now. With God, all things are possible. Because when we read this verse, we say, no, rich people will not enter heaven. He said, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This year is a year of more than enough. More than enough, it means abundance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It means you're living an abundant life, where you have more than enough. Hallelujah. So with God, I want to encourage you this morning. With God, it is possible. Hallelujah. With God, the abundant life is possible. And it's happening. Hallelujah. And I always say, if you are hearing this message is for you.
Amen.
It's not for somebody else. It's for you.
Amen.
It means you should become what the message is telling you to become.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, tell your neighbor, get serious, neighbor. Hallelujah. Praise God. So what is eternal life? Eternal life is a quality of life that begins on earth and continues in heaven. That's how I'm defining it. Eternal life is a quality of life that begins on earth and continues in heaven. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. So, eternal life begins now. You don't enter. Hallelujah. You know, I've heard this one. I adapted it. I took it. When a Christian dies, we say, he has checked out. When you go to a hotel, that's not your home, right? So you check in. When you're going home, you check out. So when a Christian dies, he's not dead. You remember resurrection power, right? You received resurrection power when Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. So we check out. So if you ask me, I will tell you, my mother checked away last year. Checked out. So we use the terminology check out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans chapter 4, verse chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore, we were. I like this verse. Our salvation is based on, in theology they call it doctrine of substitution, right? Doctrine of substitution talks about, you know what to substitute is. You take out something, you put in something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those who watch football, you take out a player, you put in a what? A player. You don't take out a player and put in a referee. Ah, it's not allowed. So whatever Jesus suffered or went through, it was on your behalf. Hallelujah. Which means you are the one responsible. So the Bible says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into his death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when he was buried, we are approaching Easter, not so? When you approach Easter, don't approach Easter as a spectator or as a supporter. I always tell ourselves that Christians are not spectators. They are not supporters of Jesus. They are participators. Hallelujah. So, as we go through Easter, your thoughts should be, when he was buried, I was buried with him. Which means you were buried. When he was raised from the dead, you were raised together with him. You were raised to the newness of life. When you plant a seed, you've planted maize, I know, you've planted maize. Now the rains are coming, you must be happy. Hallelujah. When you plant a seed, the maize comes out. You cannot call that maize the seed. The seed is something else. It has gone through a process. It has produced new life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Bible says you were buried with him and you were raised to the newness of life. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 4, verse 23, it talks about renewing the spirit of your mind. Let's start from verse 22. So it says that you put off concerning your former conduct, forget about what was there before, right? The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So put off the old conversation. The other version says, put on the new man in Christ. Putting on, you did put on this morning. Because you've not come to church naked, you've put on clothes. For you to put on clothes, you do an effort to put on clothes. Hallelujah. So, the Bible urges us to put on the new man. You know now the new man. This is what is expected of the new man. You're supposed to put on that new man by the renewing of the spirit of your mind. Hallelujah. It's not about going to buy something that you put in your locker so that every day you put it on. The putting on is in your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, tell your neighbor, put on the new man every day in the morning. Make it a habit. When you wake up, put on the new man. When you're putting on clothes, put up the new man. Tell yourself you are the new man in Christ Jesus. You are different from the rest. Even if you're going to work, you're going to meet so many people, but you're different. You put on a new man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you put on a new attire, when you get to your office, people will say, ah, today you are dressed differently. Hallelujah. They take notice. Amen. They can also take notice of your spiritual life. Hallelujah. When you put on the new man every day. Amen.
Amen.
Let them say, you have changed. You have changed. You are not the same. So you just say, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to put on the new man every day by the renewing of our mind. Praise God. I think I'll end by defining it, how Jesus defined eternal life. That's in John 17, verse 3. Maybe that should be. John 17, verse 3. You see, John 17 was probably Jesus' last prayer. It's a long, long prayer. And he talked about eternal life. So he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So if you know God the Father, if you know Jesus, then that is eternal life. That's how Jesus defines eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what he brought. So knowing God, and Jesus, so too, right? There are some people who claim, maybe let me not use the word claim. There are some people who say they know God, but they don't know Jesus. Those people don't have eternal life. They don't know eternal life. Because Jesus, remember we started from John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So it's only Jesus who brings eternal life. This should also encourage you or fire you up to tell other people about this truth. Because he's saying, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Which means those that don't know Jesus, they don't know the true God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that should also encourage you to tell people about the true God that we know. Because people are busy. People are busy. People are busy in the things of God. I will say that. People are busy in the things of God. But not many people are busy in the things of the true God. So we are given a ministry of reconciliation to tell people about Jesus the Christ. So when you get to, for people maybe who, you get to places, even work or marketplace or wherever, then you meet and you find people saying there are different faiths, right? But it's the same God. Me, I always say no. The God that I serve is not the same God that the Shehe is worshipping. No, it's not the same. Because me, I'm following the true God. Hallelujah. But that's what society is doing to us. You may not say no, but you must know that it's not true. Hallelujah. Amen. There must be a distinction between true children of God, hallelujah, and others. We are the ones who are following the good shepherd. The others who are following thieves, that's what it means. In the name of God. But they are following thieves. Don't tell them, you end up... you just know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So knowing God means having an intimate and close personal relationship with God. That's what eternal life is all about. So you will experience the eternal life as God works through your life. Hallelujah.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.